Revelation chapter 1, verse 12 through 16. This is reading of God's word. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the middle of the lampstands I saw one like a son of man, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet, and girded across his chest with a golden sash. His head and his hair were white, like white wool, like snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze when it has been made to glow in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in its strength. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Oh, Father, it is the most precious sight that we see through your word. We see resurrected Lord, our God, Jesus Christ, who is welcoming us in that glorious place. Even now as we worship you, we are meeting this same Lord. Oh Father, we pray that through your word that you would give us understanding, that you will give us faith, that all of your people will see your Son and meet him and have fellowship with him through your word. Oh Father, it is truly better up here. As we meet you, Father, through your Son, let us worship you. Let us bring glory and honor to you. And rejoice. Be very happy. For our God, you, welcomes us. We thank you and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Apostle John was at Patmos Island, but he was also in spirit, and he is lifted up to the heavens and meeting his Lord and seeing God's kingdom. John heard his Lord's voice, voice of Jesus Christ. To see Jesus is to see God, because Jesus is the eternal God. And you, brothers and sisters, you are here in the city of Long Beach, but you are also in spirit, and you have been lifted up to heaven as we worship our God. And through the word of God, you and I, we too are meeting our Lord Jesus Christ. We are seeing our Lord and seeing his kingdom through the word as we worship our God. And if you understand that, and by your faith that you see this reality, then you are truly blessed that God's grace is upon you. Because without that understanding, the very thing that we're doing here today is meaningless. You have to understand where you have come. and that you are standing in front of this amazing God. That you are meeting your God. That He is meeting you. I pray very hard that all of you will have this understanding. That this faith. He commands John to write a letter and send it to seven churches. And in verse 12 we read, "Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands." John turns to see his Lord, and the first thing that he sees is seven golden lampstands. And if you go down to verse 20b, it says the seven lampstands are the seven churches. And verse 13a says, "And in the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like a son of man." John sees one like a son of man. This is the person that Daniel saw long ago. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 through 14, "I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming. And he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed." The person that John sees is the same person that Daniel saw. In the Gospels, Jesus often called himself as the Son of Man. Here, John sees the risen Lord, Jesus Christ, and the Lord is with his church. He is in the middle of the lampstands, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Jesus Christ, who was with his people of the Old Testament through the glory cloud, is now with his church. He is in the middle of the lampstands. In terms of Old Testament language, what does that mean, that he is in the middle of the lampstands? Where do we find the lampstands in the Old Testament? Well, in the tabernacle, in the temple. So in terms of Old Testament language, as we read that he is in the middle of lampstands, he is in the tabernacle. He is in the temple. The lampstand was in the temple in a room called the Holies, but now in Jesus Christ, as you know, we are the true temple and true tabernacle. The church is the true temple and true tabernacle. So what do we see here? Our risen Lord Jesus Christ is with his church. He is with you. And you need to see this too, that as we gather here, and it's not just us, brothers and sisters all around the world and brothers, sisters who went to heaven already, we have gathered, and you have to see that Jesus Christ, he is with His church is with you. He is with you right now. And you must see this. And John tells us from verse 13b, the description of our Lord. We see John's descriptions of our Lord. And Jesus in this passage is described in nine things. Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was resurrected from the dead and now lives forever. Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is all-knowing and all-powerful, the most glorious and most holy King, and our eternal High Priest, is described in a symbolical language. Here the descriptions tell us more of who He is rather than how He looks like. The descriptions tell us more of who He is rather than how He looks like. We do not expect to see our Lord in heaven looking just like what we see in this passage. It's a symbolical language. We learn of who He is and what He has done and what He is doing, and what He will consummate. It is the most glorious picture that you will see in the Bible. Risen Lord, Jesus Christ Himself. And you are meeting that Lord, even as you worship Him right now. Yeah. You know, some worldly people, they go all crazy meeting some movie star or rock star. They're so happy, they scream like crazy as they meet this whoever that they worship. How about you, brothers and sisters? Are you happy to see your Lord? Are you happy to meet Him? And this is what our religion is all about. It's meeting our God. From verse 13b through 16, we see this nine description. First, clothed. He is clothed in a robe reaching to the feet. Second, girded across His chest with a golden sash. And His head and His hair is white like white wool, like snow. And fourth, His eyes were like a flame of fire. And fifth, His feet were like burnished bronze when it has been made to glow in a furnace. His voice was like a sound of many waters. Seventh, in His right hand He held seven stars. And eighth, out of His mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And ninth, His face was like the sun shining in its strength. Obviously, we just don't have time to look at these things in detail, but let us come, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Please, let us come and meet our Lord and Savior that John is meeting in our passage. Your God, Jesus Christ. And look at Him through the Word. He is clothed in a robe reaching to the feet. Do you see him? What do we know about our Lord Jesus Christ by this? Well, he is in the middle of the lampstands. He is in the temple. And what he is wearing reminds us of the priestly garment that we see in Exodus 28, where we see God's instruction on how to make the priestly garment. Jesus Christ is our eternal high priest. In chapter 19 of Revelation, verse 13, we read he is clothed with a robe dipped in blood. Again, symbolical language, but in the Old Testament, if one is to go into the temple and to see the high priest, then he will see the high priest clothed with the priestly garment, but that garment will be sprinkled with the blood of animal that he has sacrificed. Jesus Christ, he is our eternal high priest who sacrificed himself as the once and for all eternal and perfect sacrifice for our sins. And through the word, as we see him again, he is girded across his chest with a golden sash. The high priest also wore a sash around his waist, but here we see him with a golden sash girded across his chest. This, we say, is a picture of a king. We see a golden sash from the garments of the ancient kings. From these two things, then, we see our Lord Jesus Christ as our eternal royal priest. Priest and the king. This is our Lord. And in him, you and I are also royal priesthood in him. Chapter 22, verse 5b, and they will reign forever and ever, describes us as kings. And chapter 7, verse 15, for this reason they are before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will spread his tabernacle over them, describes us as the priests. His head and his hair were white, like wool, like snow. We see the same description of God the Father in Daniel chapter 7, verse 9. I kept looking until thrones were set up, and the Ancient of Days took his seat, God the Father. His vesture was like white snow, and his hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was ablaze with flames. Its wheels were a burning fire. Here in our passage, John applies the same description to our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is God. Our catechism says there are three persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one God, the same in substance, equal in power and glory. And in many Old Testament passages, you will learn that the white hair symbolizes glory, honor, and wisdom. His eyes were like a flame of fire. What do we see from this? That Jesus sees all. He has that penetrating eyes that sees everything. That eyes see everything. He is God, the judge, who decides and judges all things. Chapter 19, verse 11 through 12. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it is called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire. And on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written on him, which no one knows except himself. He sees all, and he knows all. And he will judge the whole world. Revelation 2:18. He says, the Son of God who has eyes like a flame of fire. And verse 19a. I know your deeds. And verse 20a. But I have this against you. The Son of God who has eyes like a flame of fire says this. I know your deeds, but I have this against you. He sees everything, and he judges everything. His eyes are like a flame of fire. He sees you, and he sees me, and he sees his church. With the eyes of flame of fire, the penetrating eyes, he sees and knows all. You and I, we are able to deceive men, but not God. So brothers and sisters, through this description of our Lord, I want all of us to learn who God is and how he is. And by knowing God, you will be like him. Know that he sees everything when you think nobody is watching. And he desires for us to repent and be faithful unto death. Repent and be faithful unto death. His feet were like burnished bronze when it has been made to glow in a furnace. Very difficult sentence to translate. Everybody has problem translating that phrase, burnished bronze. It is a compound word, and it appears here and in chapter 2, verse 18. Only two places in the whole Bible, this word. So, it's very hard to translate. Only way that we could try to understand this phrase is that we look at this as compound word, meaning that two words have been put together to form a word. So we'll look at what are those two words. Two words that are compounded are literally brass and frankincense. Those are the two words, brass and frankincense. Brass points to power, authority, and sovereignty. So when we read in Revelation chapter 10, verse 1 and 2, I saw another strong angel coming down out of heaven, clothed with a cloud, and the rainbow was upon his head, and his face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire, and he had in his hand a little book which was open. He placed his right foot on the sea and his left on the land. So what do we see from there? That his foot, right foot, is on the sea and his left foot is on the land. Well, we see that he rules and he reigns over all the land and the sea. Psalm 110 verse 1b says, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. There we see a picture of a victorious king. So, what John is seeing, he's looking at his feet. First thing that we are told is that his feet looks like a brass. That shows his power and authority. So when he's looking at his feet, he sees that our Lord having power and authority, sovereignty. The other word, frankincense, shows us how he possessed that power and authority. Frankincense is a sweet aroma to our God when it is burned with a sacrifice. But all this points to our Lord's perfect sacrifice on the cross. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 2b says, Christ gave himself up for us an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Thus, the authority that our Lord Jesus Christ possesses has been given to him through suffering and death. So from this feat, and its description is brass and frankincense, so we see the authority and power, but that authority is given through the sufferings. Now here again, we're talking about Jesus as the Messiah, not as eternal God. Remember, we separate those two. Because as the eternal God, he always had authority. This whole concept of he was given authority doesn't apply when we're talking about Jesus as the eternal God. Because nobody gives him authority. He always has it. But when we talk about him as the Messiah, now it's different. That he had to come and accomplish everything that the Father has given him to do. And when upon that completion, the authority has been given to him. So this is risen Lord, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, that John is looking at, but he is also eternal God at the same time. But the focus, you understand the focus. So, as he looks at Jesus' feet, he sees the authority. But at the same time, he sees that authority has been given to him through his sufferings. When it has been made to glow in a furnace, or New King James says, as if refined in a furnace. The phrase refers to suffering. If you go to chapter 3, verse 18, a letter to Laodicea, chapter 3, verse 18. From the letter, we could tell that this church was worldly, very wealthy, and very powerful in many ways. So if you read from verse 17, because you say, these people who are at this church says, I am rich and having become wealthy and have need of nothing. And Jesus says, you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And verse 18, Jesus says, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich. Jesus is in fact saying, you say that you are rich and wealthy, but you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, but buy from me sufferings and make you rich. We'll talk about it more when we get there, but brothers and sisters, do you want to be rich? Then buy from Jesus Christ the sufferings. This is the true wisdom. The real wealth is the sharing of the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the real wealth in Christianity. Please, brothers and sisters, do not waste your life if the worldly wealth is what you're seeking. And when you even have those worldly wealth, do not think you're rich, because you are the one who's poor. Listen to what God says to His church. Thus here His feet points to His glory, power, and the authority that He gained through suffering. His voice was like the sound of many waters. Thank God that our God is speaking God. The voice of God was often compared with the sound of many waters in the Old Testament. For example, Ezekiel 43 verse 2, and behold, the glory of God of Israel was coming from the way of the east, and His voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with His glory. Again, Jesus Christ is God. That voice is what John is hearing right now. God speaks with authority. He is speaking God. And He speaks even today. Through His word, He speaks to His people. And those who has an ear to hear will hear. The beginnings of all seven letters in chapters 2 and 3 have the phrase, He who, and description of Jesus Christ, and says this. He who, description, says this. Do you remember the similar phrases in the Old Testament? Says the Lord God. When Jesus speaks, God speaks. The endings of all seven letters have the phrase, He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Jesus Christ, our God, speaks to His church, but through the Holy Spirit by His word. Because in the beginning of each letter, it says, Jesus speaks. And end of each letter, it says, He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So it is Jesus who speaks. It is the Holy Spirit who speaks. But in John, you read that Holy Spirit says, I don't say anything on my own initiative, but I only speak what I hear. So it is Jesus speaking, but through the Holy Spirit. And He speaks through the Word. And this is what is exactly what is happening to you. John hears his Lord's voice, but you must hear your Lord's voice also. You need to hear His voice through the Word as Holy Spirit speaks to you, as Holy Spirit gives you an ear to hear. There's this divine communication going on even today. But we must be careful, right? There are so many people saying that divine communication comes to them apart from the Word. But that is not what the Bible teaches. Jesus Christ, our God, speaks to His church through the Holy Spirit by His Word. God gives His church the ear that hears His Word and mind that understands it and believes it and obeys it. Now we come to the last three things. And the last three things point to what our Lord is doing right now. In His right hand, He held seven stars. If you read verse 20, seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. The beginnings, all seven beginnings of all seven letters have the phrase, to the angel of the church. And they give you location, write. So Jesus says, write to the angel of the church. And in various locations. So the letter is written to the angel of the church, but if you go down to every letter, the end of every letter, you also read, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So, the angels, they are referring to the churches. God says, write to the angel who are in, Ephesus, for example. But after that letter is written, it says that he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, but those angels represent the church. Thus, the seven stars, just like the seven lampstands, symbolizes the church. So, in His right hand, He held seven stars. What do you see from that? That Jesus Christ right now is in charge of His church. His church is in His hand. He is the king of His church. He holds His church in His hand. He rules His church with sovereign grace. The right hand, a symbol of power and authority. He holds His church with His power and authority. That's the reality. Our spiritual reality. John chapter 10, verse 28 through 30, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Do you see the picture? That God holds you in His right hand. With His power and authority, He rules His church, He governs His church, and He protects His church. That's what is going on right now. And you need to see this through the Word. Do you feel that things are out of control in your life? Do you feel like out of control in the church? But you must see this. Jesus Christ holding seven stars in His right hand. Once you see Him holding seven stars in His right hand, you don't have to fear. He holds you in his right hand. Out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. In Ephesians chapter 6 verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So two-edged sword is a symbol of God's word. Yes, our God is speaking God. Out of his word comes a sharp-edged, two-edged sword. Out of his mouth, his word comes. But the word is described as a two-edged sword. Now, when you have a picture of sword, what do you think of? Well, the general who goes out and fight. Now, you have to understand, these visions were given 2,000 years ago. Obviously, right now, if you think of general, you probably think of guns rather than sword. But at the, you know, at that time, there was no gun. So when you have this sword, it's battle. So that sword is coming out of his mouth. As we saw this already, that is a picture of his word coming out. So what do we see? With his word then, he protects his church. With his word then, he destroys his enemy. With the sword, he protects and he destroys the enemy. From it, we see a picture of a warrior. Isaiah 11 verse 4, but with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth, and he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. So we see in Revelation this picture of Jesus Christ fighting in a battle with Satan and his forces. But the reality is that when he comes, he will just speak, and all of his enemies will be destroyed. It's through his word. It is by his word. Just like the first creation, he just spoke. New creation, he just speaks his word. The final judgment is also his word. He will just speak. Isaiah 49 verse 2 says, of the Messiah, he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. So creation, new creation, and the judgment all by his word. He triumphs over his enemies by his word. Revelation 2 verse 16, therefore repent, or else I'm coming to you quickly, and I will make war against them with the sword of my mouth. Chapter 19, verse 11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, the white horse, and who sat on it, called faithful and true, and the righteousness he judges and wages war. Verse 15, from his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. Verse 21, and the rest were killed with the sword which came from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. It's by the word. Word is God's weapon. Now, what do you think is the weapon of the church? What weapon do we use to destroy our enemies and protect the church? What weapon do we use? There's only one. It's God's word. That's the only weapon that He has shown to us. Understand, brothers and sisters. You don't go out and conquer other countries to make them Christian. We preach the gospel. And with that word, we triumph over our enemies. And with that word, we protect God's church. The weapon we have to destroy our enemies is also His word. All will be judged by His word. So what do you see as you see your Lord and from His mouth come? A sword, two-edged, sharp two-edged sword. You see, with His word, our Lord protects His church and He judges the world. And that is the reality. Do you see Him protecting the church and slaying His enemies with His word? And His face was like the sun shining in His strength. Chapter 22, verse 4 and 5. They will see His face and His name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no longer any night. And they will not have need of light of lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them. And they will reign forever and ever. God is the light of the world. Jesus Christ our Lord is the light of the world, and He is the light of the church. He shines His church forever and ever. He is the true light. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 6, for God who said, light shall shine on the darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. What do you see when you look at Jesus Christ? He shines upon you. His face was like the sun shining in its strength. Jesus will always shine on His church. And that is our strength and our joy. Do you see Him shining upon you, upon the church? And He is delighted in you. Brothers and sisters, we are meeting our Lord Jesus Christ right now. And through the word, you see Him. And you see who He is and what He has done and what He is doing and what He will consummate. You see Him. And this is not just imagination. Come and meet your Lord. Through the word. By your faith, see Him. Meet Him. He's a living God. All-knowing, all-powerful, glorious God with all the power and glory and authority, our eternal High Priest, Our eternal King who speaks to His church, He rules His church, He shines His glory and light upon His church now and forever. This Lord is your Lord, your Savior, your God. You have come to meet Him, our risen Lord. Enjoy this God. Love Him. Praise Him. Give Him all the glory. And let us worship Him, our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us bow down. And that is what we're going to see next week. When John sees this Lord, he just... he bows down, he's on the floor, and he worships. And that is exactly what we're doing right now. Yes, physically we're sitting down, but spiritually we are worshiping. Even with the posture, we are worshiping our God. Oh, brothers and sisters, I pray that as you meet this Lord, as you see Him, that you don't want to go back. That just like His disciple, you will say, I like it here. I like it here. I want to stay here forever. Amazing grace has come upon us. That you are able to meet your God. That you are able to stand before Him and behold His beautiful face. Yeah, all of us who are gathered there, we say, we join our voices together to say to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. Do you see our heavenly reality? Do you see how all of His people are gathered to worship and praise? And that is exactly what you have come here to do. That is your eternal reality. Yeah, we like it here. Let's continue to enjoy this risen Lord. He will always shine upon you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your grace. Oh Father, the sight is indeed glorious. Our Lord Jesus Christ is truly beautiful and glorious. Oh Father, through the Word, by the work of the Holy Spirit, let us behold this beautiful sight, glorious sight, now and forever. Let us never lose our focus on this glorious Savior and Lord and God who is risen from the dead, who now reigns and governs, and who loves His church. We thank You, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.